Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine a digital heist so massive, it didn't just hit one company. No, it swept up data from 760 organizations. We're talking over a billion records. That's exactly what the notorious Shiny Hunters group pulled off with their Salesforce data breach. Today, we're embarking on a deep dive into this huge incident. We're specifically focusing on the insidious world of third-party vulnerabilities. You know, how they can become the Achilles heel of even systems that seem really robust. Our mission: to understand how such a colossal breach happened, its impact, and importantly, what lessons it offers about modern cybersecurity for everyone, really.
Right. And what's truly fascinating here, I think, is that this wasn't a direct assault on Salesforce itself. Salesforce has incredibly strong defenses. Instead, it was a highly sophisticated exploitation of trusted third-party integrations. Those connections many organizations rely on, but maybe overlook in their security checks. This raises a really important question for all of us. Just how secure are the bridges, the connections between all the different digital tools we use every single day? And well, what happens when those bridges aren't quite as strong as the fortresses they connect?
That is the question, isn't it? Keeps a lot of security people up at night, I bet. And this incident really brings it into sharp focus. To grasp the enormity, let's talk sheer volume. Over 1.5 billion Salesforce records stolen from 760 different organizations.
Yeah.
That's almost hard to comprehend. Can you break down for us what kind of data was exposed and why each bit is so valuable to attackers?
Absolutely. The scope here is truly staggering. First, we saw about 250 million account records. Think of these as fundamental client info, relationships, business structures, the bedrock, really. Then the largest segment, a huge 579 million contact records. So names, emails, phone numbers, job titles, pure gold for phishing, identity theft, you name it. Beyond that, 171 million records of opportunity data, potential sales, deals, forecasts. Imagine a competitor getting that. We also saw 60 million user entries identifying people inside these companies, and crucially, around 459 million case records.
Okay, so not just customer lists, but real operational insights too. And you mentioned those case records. What exactly are they? Why are they particularly troubling?
Right, the case records. If we connect this to the bigger picture, they're particularly troubling because they often contain support tickets. Now, think about what goes into a support ticket. It's not just a complaint. It can include really sensitive technical information, maybe details about authentication failures, internal chats about system problems, sometimes even bits of code or access instructions. For an attacker, this isn't just data. It's like a compiled guide, a launchpad for more attacks, because it gives them blueprints of vulnerabilities, internal processes. Think about it, this sensitive info could be tied to services you use every day, making you or your company a potential next target for a really customized, effective attack.
That's a terrifying thought, weaponizing support tickets. But if they were so sensitive, why were they accessible like that? Through a third-party token? And how did the attackers grab so much without directly hitting Salesforce's main defenses? Can you walk us through that method? It sounds quite clever.
It was clever, yes. And this is where the story takes a really interesting turn. The breach didn't target Salesforce's main infrastructure directly. That's what most people might assume. No, it actually started with something seemingly unrelated back in March. Threat actors compromised Salesloft's GitHub repository.
Salesloft's GitHub repo. Okay, so for anyone not familiar, that's like the digital vault for their software source code, right? The blueprint.
Exactly. The entire architectural plan for their application. A huge potential score for an attacker.
So they got the DNA of Salesloft's apps. Huge step. But having source code is one thing. Turning that into access to other systems? How did they make that leap? What was the next move?
That's the key challenge, and it's where their method got smart. They didn't manually sift through code. No, they used a specialized tool called Truffelhog. Truffelhog is basically an automated security scanner. Its job is to sniff out hidden secrets. Things like API keys, passwords, tokens that developers might accidentally leave embedded in the source code. And what Truffelhog found in Salesloft's stolen code? Well, it was the digital equivalent of golden keys, specifically OAuth tokens for the Salesloft Drift and Drift email platforms.
OAuth tokens. Okay, we hear that term a lot. What exactly is an OAuth token, and why were these specific ones so critical?
Right. These OAuth tokens were absolutely the linchpin. They granted an astonishing level of access. Think of an OAuth token like a temporary digital badge. One app, like Salesloft Drift, uses it to securely get permission to act for you inside another app, like Salesforce, without needing your password. Salesloft Drift itself acts as a bridge, connecting Drift's AI chat agent to Salesforce, syncing leads and cases. Drift Email handles email responses and connects to CRM systems. So by compromising these tokens, the attackers didn't need to hack Salesforce directly. They just walked in through the authorized back door that Salesloft Drift legitimately held open. They used one third-party key to unlock hundreds of different doors, accessing organizations that had simply integrated these popular services. It perfectly shows how trust in one vendor can unintentionally compromise many others.
Wow. One key, hundreds of doors. That's quite the visual. And the ripple effect didn't stop there, did it? This wasn't just grab and run. Once they had this trove of sensitive case data, did they just leave? Or did Google Threat Intelligence find something more?
Far from it. This wasn't grab and run at all. Google Threat Intelligence found that the attackers actively analyzed the stolen case data. They were specifically hunting for even more hidden credentials, more tokens, more access keys. This wasn't opportunistic, it was systematic, deepening their foothold. They were looking for the next link in the chain, trying to turn data exposure into full system compromise.
And it sounds like that meticulous analysis paid off, big time. What kind of further access did they manage to find? And which big names got caught in this extended attack?
Oh, it definitely paid off. This systematic approach let them identify crucial stuff, things like Amazon Web Services, access keys, you know, AWS, the backbone for so many companies, various passwords, even Snowflake-related tokens. Snowflake's a cloud data warehouse, so that's potentially huge amounts of data. And what's really sobering is the list of high-profile victims caught in this campaign. It reads like a who's who of tech. Google, Cloudflare, Zscaler, Tenable, CyberArk, Elastic, BeyondTrust, Proofpoint, JFrog, Nutanix, Qualys, Rubrik, Cato Networks, Palo Alto Networks, even companies whose whole business is security or cloud infrastructure were hit. It's a stark reminder that even the strongest fortress is vulnerable if a trusted partner, maybe one considered less critical, gets compromised.
Yeah, it really forces every organization, no matter how big or secure they think they are, to rethink their entire perimeter. Not just the front door. This incident just hammers home how interconnected everything is. A vulnerability in one place cascades, compromising data and access across a whole ecosystem. Your security really is only as strong as your weakest link, especially if that link is a trusted partner holding keys to your kingdom.
Exactly. And it's not just about shiny hunters. It's about the growing complexity of these digital supply chains we all rely on.
And speaking of shiny hunters, this attack seems like a big evolution for them, too. They've used various names, right? Connections to Scattered Spider, Lapsus, now they're calling themselves Scattered Lapsus Hunters. It sounds like a merger or a more organized collaboration. What does that signal?
Yeah, the emergence of Scattered Lapsus Hunters is definitely a worrying development. It suggests they're pooling resources, expertise, maybe even target lists. That makes them potentially much more formidable. Intelligence agencies are certainly watching this level of organization. Google's threat intel teams, for instance, track them under specific codes like UNC6040 and UNC6395. It really highlights the persistent, organized nature of these campaigns. But what's also remarkable is their patience. This campaign ran for a whole year while they apparently maintained operational security. That's not smash and grab. It's long-term, calculated, speaks volumes about their sophistication.
A year? Undetected. That's incredible patience and OPSEC. That must have gotten the attention of federal authorities, right?
Oh, absolutely. The scale and persistence rightly prompted the FBI to issue a public advisory, warning specifically about the UNC 6040 and UNC 6395 actors, urging companies to bolster defenses. And then, in a pretty brazen move, the threat actors claimed more breaches against law enforcement systems themselves, including Google's law enforcement request system, even the FBI's e-check platform. Now, Google confirmed a fraudulent account was created in their LER system, but stressed no requests were made, no data accessed through it. Still, the audacity of even claiming those breaches sends a message about their confidence and intent.
That is quite a statement. And despite them saying they were going dark or retiring, we know how these groups operate. Is the threat really over?
Unfortunately, no. Despite those claims, security researchers at ReliaQuest have actually spotted continued activity, targeting financial institutions starting as recently as July 2025. So it suggests that rather than retiring, they might just be shifting focus. Maybe to new, potentially more lucrative targets, the threat is definitely still very much alive and probably evolving again. It's a constant game.
So wrapping this up, what does it all mean for you, for the organizations you interact with? This incident is a massive wake-up call, isn't it? Emphasizing securing those third-party integrations. It sounds like companies spend loads securing their main systems, their front door, but leave the side windows open via these trusted connections. A classic blind spot.
It truly is a major blind spot. Companies invest millions on perimeter defense, but forget their vendors and integrations effectively extend that perimeter. Salesforce responded, recommending enhanced security, mandatory multi-factor authentication needing more than just a password. That's crucial. Also pushing for least privilege principles, only giving the minimum access needed. And of course, careful management of all connected apps. These aren't just good ideas anymore, they're necessities.
Those sound like fundamental steps, definitely.
Yeah.
But to really protect against attacks like this, what broader recommendations would you offer? What does a truly comprehensive defense look like?
Right. Well, beyond those basics, organizations need strict access controls everywhere, not just for internal users, but for every third-party app or service connecting to their data. Regularly rotating authentication credentials for these integrations is also vital. Change the locks on those digital backdoors often. And finally, rigorous monitoring. Watching for unusual activity patterns across all integrated platforms and services, not just your main systems. Recognizing that a weird login attempt on a connected app could be the first sign of a breach heading for your core data. Regular, thorough security audits of all connected applications, they're not optional anymore. They're essential. It's about building a culture where every connection is seen as a potential vulnerability needing constant watch.
This whole deep dive into the Shiny Hunters breach really shows how the cybersecurity battlefield keeps changing. The biggest threats aren't always head-on attacks. Sometimes they're these clever, indirect exploitations of the web of services we all rely on. It's complex.
Absolutely. And it leaves us with a really important question, I think, for everyone. In this incredibly integrated digital world, how much do we really understand about the security of all the third-party services holding or processing our data? And what responsibility do organizations have? Not just for their own walls, but for the entire digital ecosystem they're part of. What would a truly robust, secure, connected ecosystem even look like? One where the weakest link doesn't endanger the whole chain.
That's definitely something to think about. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive today. We hope this helps you feel a bit more informed about the complex world of cybersecurity and these ever-present third-party risks. Until next time.